I didn't at first, I have to admit, but the more that was drawn out of Dwayne about his knowledge of the game, and it then became, you know, I wasn't sure of the purpose. You know, if he plays against us in any grade on Sunday, then great. But I got to admit, if you've never played the game and you've never seen the game, you don't know the rules of the game, it makes it quite difficult to play the game.
It works both ways. From the PR point of view, it could be a great positive for the game. It could be a PR disaster.
Well, that's Castleford's and the RFL's ball. It's nothing we can do here. I'm certainly not concerned about it. If he, as I said, if he's in a team lineup for Sunday, he'll be given due respect and due preparation, and then we'll see what happens when the game starts.
I mean, you've got some great talent here, and I'd imagine the club and the scouts scour everywhere for potential players. Are you looking at any athlete? I'm thinking Jason Gardner from Greater Manchester. He's a bit of a good sprinter, but are you looking at athletes?
Nah, well, you might look at athletes in their early years or athletes who have played rugby league. You know, it did happen in Australia. Jeff Fenwick, world champion boxer. He played first grade for Parramatta, I think, and he played rugby league all his life growing up. Darren Clark, who ran fourth in the 400 metres at the Olympics in consecutive Olympic Games, I think in 84 and 88 maybe, he played first grade for Balmain. So there are people that have done it before in Australia, but they had played the game when they were kids.
And I suppose that's a big problem. I don't think Dwayne Chambers has played. I mean, he's had to go to American football, and he's going to be, if he does have a go at our game, he's in for a big shot because we don't wear padding.
Well, that's going to be the interesting point in case. I'll tell you what, he fills the jersey up, but he's a big thing, and he's fast. He's got the physical attributes for the game, but there's a lot of nuances in our game which you have to know the game really, otherwise you can get caught out.
So the Castleford game, obviously, it was a great Titanic slugfest on Friday against Leeds Rhinos, and it's going to be a different sort of opposition, isn't it?
Hopefully it's dry for starters. You know, I think everyone's looking for a bit drier weather. I've given the boys 4 days off after the game on Friday. It was a heavy Easter period, not real successful for us, but we got a lot. We were encouraged by a performance on Friday night. So they come back into training tomorrow. I expect them to be pretty fresh and pretty wired up. And as you said, we need to get back on the horse.
Jason Careless, I thought he had a sensational game considering he'd been out for so long. He got into the game early doors. And I thought he changed the momentum at some stage. In fact, on both occasions he came on.
Yeah, he did. You know, he's out for 5 months with a microfracture. Full credit to the specialists who conducted that surgery, and also to my physio and medical department on putting the hurdles in front of him to get over before they released him to play the game. But for a bloke who's been here for 5 months, he certainly had an impact, and we're looking forward to having him for a few consecutive games now.
So the next question, there was no reaction to that game?
No, not at all. He pulled up well in the morning. He was noisy and painful, as he always is when he's got a smile on his face. So he'll be playing again on Sunday.
A couple of things either that we can do in our show tomorrow or looking forward. First of all, the franchise system as such, the licences went in for the applicants, and as it were, you were rather critical of what might happen in a few years' time with Saints if they don't get a ground.
Oh, I don't know if the councillors or the national MPs have enough background on St Helens, but Knowsley Road has not got much time left in it. This town needs a new stadium for a world-class team. We've got to remember, St Helens have been world champions twice now in the last 8 years, so this is a world-class team, one of the most successful in the Super League era. They need a new stadium. If with the franchises, they'll give you a grace period to build and upgrade your facilities, but if it doesn't get done in St Helens, and St Helens will be in the comp, but they won't be playing in St Helens, they'll be playing in Knowsley or Widnes or some surrounding borough. It's just as simple as that, because the RFL are going to require minimum standards in 3 years' time.
I mean, that's unthinkable for the history of. I mean, obviously, it's a stadium, and it's an old stadium, with all due respect. And that would be unthinkable, the fact that St. Helens would be playing somewhere apart from in their own town.
Well, the Bulldogs, the Canterbury Bulldogs, had to do it. They played at Parramatta Stadium. They played at Sydney Football Stadium. They still don't play at Belmore anymore. But sort of, it's taken them a while, but they're at the Sydney Showground. It took them 5-6 years to find a home. And if the St. Helens people want that to go down that road, where they're traipsing all over the borough of Merseyside, going to different grounds year in, year out, then it's a distinct possibility. It is up to, it's now, I think, out of the St. Helens football administration hands. It's out of the fans' hands. It's in the hands of the councillors and the local MPs and the national MPs. This is a club which needs a stadium. I think this is a town which needs a focal sporting centrepiece as well.
Obviously, in the area with the franchises, some of the new applicants that have come in there are Widnes Vikings, the Salford City Reds, and who have got their stadium coming and going. Widnes have already got theirs. Lee Centurions, their stadium will be built and completed in June. Yeah. Plus the Celtic Crusaders and other sides. It's exciting times for those clubs, and it's going to be a big decision for what the Rugby Football League to do, whether they expand to Wales or whether they, as it were, look at the established clubs who've been playing for years and, well, for decades.
You're right, but you have a look at the last franchise, or the last expansion model, which was the Catalan Dragons. They have got a nice home ground. It's full, it's noisy, it's a great atmosphere. They're producing juniors. Their players now coming through are going to benefit the national team at the World Cup next year, I'm very, very confident of. So if you invest in it, I think the rewards are coming. And, if Celtic Crusaders happen to go to Cardiff and get a good stadium, well, how much pressure does it place on St. Helens and Wakefield and Castleford to a lesser extent? All these clubs, Salford at the Willows, they can't measure up to Widnes or Lee in their new ground. We just can't measure up to them as far as ground facilities. So it does put pressure on, the RFL to ensure that every club meets minimum standards in the course of the next 3 to 5 years.
This is a difficult question. I don't like putting people on the spot. Have you a personal preference who you think should get one or possible two franchises?
I think Celtic Crusaders, I'd like to see them in. I think it's like Catalan. I think it's a unique area. It's a geographical area that has got a number of players or a number of prospective players who would actually, similar to the New Zealand Warriors, who would choose rugby league over rugby union. You go to some places, you get rugby league as a second choice. But, I don't know if that's the case. I think if the Celtic Crusaders are in the Super League, I think they'll be an aspirational team for a lot of young kids in Wales. And I would think that they will go from strength to strength in years to come, with good management, with good facilities, with good coaching. As long as the infrastructure's in place, I just can't see how that place is not going to work.